10 episodes. When we started this podcast, we, Paul and I, were talking to each other and said, we're going to do 10, for sure 10, and we'll reevaluate if we're going to do any more after that.
We've been talking about doing a podcast for years now, and we just never actually like stepped up to the plate and did it. And so we made sure when we were going to do it, we need to actually commit for something, have some foot in the game. And so we get the foot in the door, skin in the game. We had to say, this is our limit. You know, if we hate it, we're going to push through and do 10 episodes, no matter what. But if we love it, we could decide to renew for another season.
Yeah, we've been talking to our sponsors, and they think that we've made it, that we might be able to be ready for season number 2. And so if you don't like what we're doing, you can just turn off the podcast. And if you're listening to this still, I don't know why you're here other than the fact that you might want to listen to us talk about games. So we're glad that you have joined us. We are going to be finishing up our season with episode number 10. But before we do that, I want to introduce to you my wife, Grace.
Hello.
We're bringing her on because she has played quite a bit of this next game, which is...
We are playing Stardew Valley.
So, Stardew Valley is... Grace, how would you describe Stardew Valley if you had to use a little bit of time?
The best video game out there.
Wow. Not hiding what your thoughts are on this.
Nope. I loved it.
So, what Stardew Valley is, though, is a farming lifestyle simulator, essentially. And when I was thinking about how to explain this game, I was realizing that if I'm trying to explain this to someone, it doesn't sound like very much fun. You play as a character in this little town, Stardew Valley, and you have a farm, and you
do chores and collect stuff and give gifts to people. And I don't know, I told my wife about it. I think, you know, Grace really enjoyed this game, that maybe we could play it together. And she's just like, I spend all day taking care of a 2-year-old and trying to get my house clean and do chores all day. You're telling me that you want me to sit down and
do that
and play a game where I do chores and have to organize my life? That just did not seem appealing.
Come on, Rachel. Doesn't that sound super fun?
I'm sure she would have done it if I really pressed, but she's like, if you want to play a game, let's play a different game that, you know, I might enjoy a little bit more. I think she could learn to enjoy it, but it's just one of those games that it's a hard pitch to, you know, if you just straight up describe. It does not necessarily sound like, hey, this is going to be a super enjoyable experience.
I will say, I think that if you describe the game, it would be a hard sell. But exactly, yeah, what you're saying. It's playing the game. And then for me, it was playing with Bradley that made all the difference as far as how I felt about it.
How did Brad convince you to play this game with him? Because we know that you're just a gamer gal through and through.
I'm not an avid gamer. When Bradley and I were dating, we had talked about games, and I was proud to say that I'm pretty good at Mario Kart.
She really is.
We had that growing up, and some console, I have no idea what it was even called, but that was the extent of my video game knowledge. And so I think what made me decide to play it was that I trust Bradley's opinions on a lot of things, and he had said that he knew me really well and thought that I would really, really like this game, and he wasn't wrong.
So even as we stepped into it, I didn't realize that we could play cooperatively. We could play in the same screen on the split screen version of the game. I knew that you could play with multiple people on it on the same like farm, but we figured out a way that we could both play at the same time on the same screen with our one Switch that we have in our house. And so that really, I think, turned around the idea of us, hey, we're going to come do this together.
I think we should start by explaining what you actually do in the game. So it's a lot of, you're in the town, you've inherited a farm, and so you can go about farming, by, you know, planting and watering your crops, building outbuildings like barns and chicken coops, raising animals and collecting their produce. You can scavenge around.
You can also go fishing. So there's a fisherman in the area, and he gets you a fishing pole, and there's like a little mini game to catch the fish. You could go to the mines and get ore so you could upgrade your different tools.
And fight different monsters that are in the mines. And so there's a little bit of combat mixed into this game. And a very big aspect to the game is interacting with all of the different townsfolk that inhabit your town, figuring out their likes and dislikes, giving them gifts to try to make them like you more, and unlocking different story beats as you spend your time on your farm in this little town.
Yeah, one of the things that I would say about this game is there's a lot of detail put into a lot of different things. And one of those is those friendship points. When you upgrade your friendships, you get those different cutscenes. But each different character in the world that you're in has like specific likes, and they want certain things to be happening in their life. And as you get closer in friendship with them, you start experiencing those things more. At the beginning of the game, you're just kind of thrown in, blank canvas. You don't really know what's going on. But once you get to know the villagers, you start realizing what is kind of going on in Stardew Valley apart from yourself.
So prior to playing Stardew, Brad, did you have very many experiences doing any like simulation games or lifestyle sims?
I have not played a lot of simulation games. One game, though, that is pretty comparable to Stardew Valley is Harvest Moon. And we played Harvest Moon quite a bit growing up, which is a very different experience in terms of my enjoyment with it. I really enjoyed Harvest Moon, but I almost more enjoyed watching people play Harvest Moon than I did actually playing it.
We did a lot growing up where you would sit and watch me play. One thing Harvest Moon definitely has over Stardew is graphically. It's in a different league. Stardew is not attempting to be graphically complex. It was actually created by just one person.
Which is kind of crazy that he made all this and how much detail there is.
The amount of dialogue that options that there are, and just the amount of characters and the depth of the systems. It'd be impressive for it to be a small team. But the fact that it was one guy, I don't even know how it was possible. Like, does this guy have a life? Did he do anything else? Like, I just can't imagine just the amount of dedication it took to craft this game completely on his own.
Yes, so as we are kind of, that's our overview of the game. I want to hear from each one of you. If you had to like pick one or two aspects of the game that connected with the way that you enjoyed playing the game the most, what would you say? Let's go with Grace first.
I think when I started playing the game, the thing that really was just fun for me to jump in right away was fishing. Because I was beginning to understand the game and strategy, but before I had like a full understanding of what I was supposed to do each season, because there's winter, fall, spring, and summer, that was just something that I could do during the day, and it was a lot of fun. It's very satisfying.
Fishing would definitely be up there at the top for me, having that its own little mini game that just feels very distinct from the rest of the gameplay. I also found myself going in the mine a lot, trying to get to deeper and deeper levels to get different minerals to take back to the museum, to get the, give them as gifts and see your display of all the different unique rocks that you were able to find. And fighting the monsters, I found that to be a good change of pace between this very like calm, surreal, like just like living life experience out in the country to like, let's have a little bit of change of pace and do some fighting. And like, it's not like a deep fighting mechanic by any means, but it's enough to like kind of, you know, change things up if you're getting kind of tired of, you know, the monotony of farm life. But I'd say that the mechanic that probably drew me in the most was there's a bunch of challenges that you can get in, the rec center at the town. Community center. Where if you complete certain challenges or bring in certain items and give it to the rec center, it will upgrade and unlock this, it's this run-down rec center to all of a sudden being this vibrant part of the community, and you can unlock different aspects, whether it be mine cars that make it so you can move across the world quicker.
Yeah.
I think it also gave me a sense of direction.
Yeah.
I feel like in this kind of game, it can be very easy to be overwhelmed with like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Why am I here? But having that little bit of a push of like, hey, try to get, all of the different, grow these specific plants when it's the correct season, or hey, you need to go mine and try to find some specific rocks, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that when I first started playing, the first time I played, I didn't really enjoy it. And I actually told Bradley, I said, that was kind of fun, but I'll probably never play it again.
You were playing by yourself.
But I was playing by myself. And so at some point, he and I started playing together, and it made all the difference because he was able to explain things about, like, the rec center and going to town and checking for, missions that were needed to be accomplished during the day. And mm-hmm. Even those small strategies, it made the game, it helped me understand it more, and it gave more purpose to each of my days that I lived in the game.
Right. I would echo you guys saying having a goal in the game is extremely important. The first time I played this game, I was just playing it by myself. I had a great time, and I was like pursuing a lot of different goals. It got to the point where I was just like, I don't really have any other goals that I would like to pursue in the game. And that's kind of when I set the game down for the first time. And then I tried playing it again. I was like, I don't really care. But then when Grace and I started playing it together, it was really fun to be like, we have a goal that we're trying to do. We're trying to restore the community center. And each day we're going to like run into town and see if anybody has posted any quests for us to go on for the next 2 days. Somebody's like, oh, I need to have 10 pieces of coal, like bring it over to me. So you have to go mine the coal for that day. So some of those goals will help you kind of determine what you want to do in the game. But one aspect that we haven't mentioned that I really enjoy about this game, which Grace might laugh at because I don't necessarily do this a lot in our house, but organizing and having an efficient farm is something that I really enjoy. So like setting up all of my crops in a way that I can water them as quickly as possible. And having things organized in the right chest. It's like, Grace, our mining chest is the one over on the left. So if you ever have anything from mining, put it in there.
Do you color code your chests?
I have not gotten to that like level. But it's more just having things in the place that I can find it quickly. So I just think that's funny because I don't necessarily organize a ton.
Well, and if I ever put something in the wrong spot in one of the chests, he's quick to find it and ask why I put it in that
one. Why would you put the tool? Why did you take my tools out of my toolbox and put them in your toolbox? At the first part of the game, when we first started playing, we're in separate. We were like, we're not married yet in the game. And so I made Grace sleep in her little shack.
That was the worst because I think that's what looped me back into the game. He was like, hey, in the game, we can get married and it's way more fun. You're with somebody else. And we started the game and Bradley's in a mansion and I'm in this little wooden shack. I don't know what made me stick with it, but I stuck with it, and he ended up doing all the work in the game to, spoiler, you can work up to getting married to somebody, and he did all the hard work for that to happen, but he was poking fun at me because end of the day, he wouldn't let me even sleep in his bed because...
I don't sleep with women unless we're married.
Oh, my goodness. So I would retaliate by still just sleeping in his bed.
And I had to sleep in the shack.
Did you guys have a mechanic or aspect of the game that just did not connect with, that you were like frustrated that you had to interact with to like progress any of the story beats?
I think for me, I was glad that Bradley did a lot of the mining. Once I got more comfortable with the game, going to the mines was not that big of a deal, but now going to the desert mines, it's not something I necessarily enjoy doing, and Bradley does. And so it gets a little stressful. And so I like when I'm just, my primary responsibilities are watering the flowers, feeding the chickens, feeding our cow.
Riding the horse around.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy. It's less stressful. So I'm glad that Bradley's really good at doing all that stuff.
I don't know there's a specific aspect of the game that I don't like, but there are probably little things I'm like, oh man, I wish that I could still, like, I could upgrade two of my, like, tools at the same time, because when you upgrade your tool, you don't have it for, like, 2 days. It's like, well, if I upgrade my watering can right now, I won't be able to water my plants for the next 2 days, so that doesn't seem like the best idea. But upgrading your tools is, like, a huge benefit to doing anything. You're way more efficient if you can upgrade your tools. And so that's a nice thing about playing two players, is the other person also has a watering can. So it's like, Grace, will you water my plants today and tomorrow? Because mine's in the getting the tool upgrade. But that's not necessarily a negative thing about the game. Did you have anything, Paul?
I feel like I didn't really connect with the characters in the town. And I feel like that's a really big part of the game. And part of me wonders if it has to do with the art style. I think that kind of connects a little bit. I feel like similar to Celeste,
where you have, you know, the pixel art, there's a more detailed version when you're actually talking with each character, like shown for their dialogue. And even that didn't really do it for me. And I think I like interacting with pretty people in games. And a lot of them just, I'm not sure if it's the art style or whatnot, just I was not drawn to like really make friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like because of that, I was missing out on a big part of the game that because I was not drawn to like the desire to interact. I also feel like it is kind of hard to keep track of what different people in town enjoy unless you're like just spending time in the wiki. And I didn't want to basically feel like the wiki was playing the game for me by just like, oh, I'm going to be friends with this person. All I'm going to do is look at the wiki and then just repeat this task over and over again. It didn't feel authentic to me. And because I remember in Harvest Moon as a kid, the joy of like wanting to be friends with someone and trying to figure out what they like, you know, each day you can give them a gift and like just taking the time to like, this person wanted to like me because they're going to give me a special item in Harvest Moon. You know, if you could get certain upgraded weapon or tools that way. And that draw just was not there for me. I felt a little bit let down, I think partially because I had experienced what it can be to its full potential in Harvest Moon as a kid, that not having that pull to do that just kind of made the game feel like it was missing one of its core features.
In the difference between Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley, there's a lot more characters in Stardew Valley. In terms of people that you are going to be friends with or can be friends with. And so I think that that even makes it more of a task of like, there's so many people, like, who do I really even interact with? And also when we were playing Harvest Moon, we didn't even have access to the internet. Like we didn't even have dial up when we were playing Harvest Moon. So like, it's a whole nother world that we live in. Grace and I have utilized the wiki quite a bit. And when you're playing in split screen, if one of you has paused and the other person has not paused, the game timer continues to go. So it'd be like, hey, Grace, can you pause real quick? And then we'll like search something on the wiki. And it's like, okay, we can unpause now. I have my information.
I think it's a mechanic we actually didn't mention is the fact that there is an actual in-game timer. And each day takes up actual literal time. And the day will end, mm-hmm. regardless if you want to or not, because your clock is constantly ticking. That's like a weird sense of sometimes some stress of like trying to fit stuff into your day. And what is overwhelmingly a really calm, relaxing game, every once in a while you can be like, oh crap, I'm running home late at night because it's super, it's, you know, I didn't realize how late it was in the mine. And your guy's going to pass out if you don't get back to bed in time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a weird dichotomy of this like, this chill gameplay, working on the farm, to this crap mad dash of getting to bed.
Yeah. I do... I'm now remembering something I don't like about the game. Sometimes... Well, when you have a health bar as well, that you only comes up when you're in the mines, because it's the only place that you can actually, like, get hurt. And if your health goes to zero, you're not, like, you don't... You will, like, pass out, but you will also lose items that you had. So, like, this happened once, and... I died, and the, like, really, really nice sword that I had gotten was, like, lost. And I no longer had my sword. And I was like, Grace, can we restart the day? Because I really don't want to have to, like, figure out how to pay for that sword again.
Now you can go and buy it back for one of the guys to recover one of your lost items.
I did not know that until very recently.
Yeah,
so,
we just learned that. So, would have been nice to know.
Yeah, I went to him, and I was like, these are all things that I lost in mine before. And then it wasn't worth enough for me to like restart the whole day. Cause usually you die late in the day, and Grace has been feeding the animals and doing all of her chores. I didn't want her to have to do the exact same chores. It's the
not
same
like
day.
She's going to do it again the next day.
I was going to say, it wasn't that big of a blow because it's so, it's those simple things that I enjoy. And it's interesting because I feel like that's one of the reasons that I like that game, is that it's so satisfying. It's just, it's the beginning of the day and the end of the day, and you have your goals and you accomplish your goals. And I think that I'd be curious if Rachel, if she played it with you, if she would feel different. Because I feel the same way about, like, you know, real life, there's always dishes, there's always cleaning, there's things like that. But there is something about the game where I just feel like that sense of accomplishment very quickly, and it makes it almost like addictive of like, okay, let's do one more day and it's hard to put it down.
Did you guys engage much with all of the cooking and recipes in like trying to create different foods?
Not really. We upgraded the house so that we could do that, and it wasn't something that we utilized just for the heck of it. It's more of a like, this is actually really beneficial because it's going to make me better at fishing. It'll increase my fishing ability, and I'm trying to catch this legendary fish that I can't catch, and I keep failing the minigame over and over and over and over and over again. It's like, I need to figure out ways to like improve my abilities. Or you can do the same thing with like, you can run faster if you have certain things. Foods. And so I don't think, we haven't engaged with that a ton.
Is there anything else you guys want to mention or talk about prior to getting to the ranking and or just our thoughts on the game?
Yes. One thing that I do want to add, when the game originally came out, it has like the quests that are sitting on like what's it called? The place where you buy your food, like the market.
There's the store.
The store. Right. Pierre's store. That's what it is. But they also introduced like this board that it's like a much larger quest. Then it's going to take, instead of like one day or 2 days, it's going to be a week or 2 weeks that you have to complete a larger task. And I think that that's a great addition to the game. Having multiple different goals that you can be pursuing after. Because those types of things will kind of drive the direction of the game. And it also will make you kind of explore an aspect of the game that you maybe not have, you haven't really dived deep into. For example, one of the quests is like, you need to make like this much like ale. And it was like, we are not making any ale. We don't have any kegs. So we had to like figure out how to create a keg and then like start doing that because we weren't even walking down that path at all.
I feel like stuff like that is where the wiki comes in such handy. And I feel like sometimes I am a stickler for not wanting to use the wiki. And so when I would see a quest like that, I'd just be like, I don't know how to do that. And in my head, for the most part, I'm not going to the wiki for stuff. And so this is definitely a game where if you are a wiki, you know, stickler like myself, I feel like sometimes you got to put that aside to like fully get the enjoyment out of the game. Because taking the time to just organically discover some stuff like that can be like hours and hours. Or you can be like, hey, I'm going to look up this in the wiki for 5 minutes. And then I have a goal for the next, you know, hour and a half of gameplay.
Or way longer. Because you're like, I have to do X, Y, and Z in order to fulfill my goal. And in order to do X, I need to do like three things as well. So it's like, I have this broad goal that's way off in the distance. And I have to do these steps going on. One last thing I'd like to say before we step into the, I guess Grace and I have shared quite a bit of our enjoyment of the game, but asking Paul about that, is the festivals and holidays that are a part of the game as well. One of the reasons I thought that Grace would like this game is because our brother David introduced it to his wife, Ashley, and Ashley really enjoyed the game. She specifically enjoyed the interactions with other characters. And I remember her specifically being like, I want to be good enough friends with somebody so that they'll want to dance with me at this dance that's in one of the festivals in the first, like, and so that was something that was part of her goal, was to increase friendship so that people would want to do these kinds of things with her in the game. And so I think having so many different people in my life who are on very different spectrums of enjoying video games like this game in different capacities was part of the reason why I wanted Grace to try it out.
I think too, just to say, as we've been talking about it, I think that it's a game where you can have a lot of goals, and I'm a goal-oriented person, but it's, you can have your own individual goals. So Ashley had the goal of having other people like her, but you had the goal, one of yours is a lot with the mines and making it really far there. And so I think it's fun in that aspect. I know I'm just really hyping the game up and not providing a lot of cons with the game, but I think that's a big draw with it. It's just you're constantly getting that feel good emotion after you hit all those different goals. And I remember there was one night that we had played for probably hours, because we played this game a lot. And in the game, every night when you go to bed, you wake up and you get a lot of money if you harvested vegetables or fruit, anything like that. And I was getting ready for bed, and I just had this thought come to mind of like, I wonder how much money I'm going to wake up with tomorrow.
Like in real life.
In real life. And I told Bradley, I was like, I think we need to like not play this game as much, because it just was like, I was getting ready for bed, and that next thought was like, oh, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have money. But I think it was just that, you know, that goal of like, okay, like I just was used to hitting something and then having that reward so quickly. So unfortunately, I don't wake up to any money, but
that's the Tooth Fairy's job.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good point for us to kind of transition into, Paul, your experience of the game. I think that we've shared a lot of our experiences.
Yes.
So, as I mentioned, I had a lot of experience with Harvest Moon. Very fond memories. Really enjoyed the game. And so I was hoping that I would come into Stardew. I've heard about it for years. It's not a game I've dived into. Wanting to just love it. And I'm not sure if it's the game itself or just like the stage of life I'm in or just like the mood that I've been in. But I did not really enjoy my experience with Stardew. Mm-hmm. It felt really monotonous. It's possible part of that was due to the fact that we were playing the game specifically for this review and for the podcast, that it almost felt like a chore to then go do chores. And so I tried to persevere. I made it through towards the end of fall of my first year. So it wasn't like I didn't touch the game. That's like close to 30 in-game days of playing. No, almost 60.
At the end of fall. You spring.
Is that 20 days fall per season, though?
It's 28 days per season.
Oh, wow. I played a lot. And so it didn't hook me. Like I said, the characters, I feel like it's such a big part of this game, that not being drawn in to like want to interact with them really hindered a lot of the exploration and the joy of the game, because most of my experience, I wanted to fish and I wanted to mine and, you know, make money, like, you know, seeing your money total go up. So I felt like I was doing watering a bunch of plants, which was really monotonous, but I felt like I had to do it every day, going and feeding all my animals and collecting, you know, eggs and milk and turning them into cheese and mayonnaise. And then I'd go to the mine, and like once I got to the bottom of the mine and like fishing, I felt like it's a fun mini game, but it's not a deep mini game. It's not something that like you're going to pick up this game just to do fishing. And so
because it's a part of the rest of the game.
Yes, it's supposed to be a minor part of a bigger whole picture. And I just never got drawn into it fully to the point where I'm very okay with not really playing much more. I don't think I'll ever play this game by myself again.
Ugh.
I could see myself playing it if I was playing with somebody who was also very interested. I talked with my wife for a while about potentially trying it together, and then it got to the, you know, our date night that we were going to do it, and we're both kind of like, you want to play something else? Like, it just does not sound appealing. Both of us like, oh, I was hoping that you were going to say that. Like, I didn't really want to play it, but I was going to do it for you.
And this hurts. I think we need to have a group date night.
I was thinking that.
Well, I hadn't asked Paul's opinion of the game yet, because I was really hoping that he and Rachel would like it. And he definitely clued in earlier that Rachel didn't like it, but I was hoping
She didn't play it. She just didn't like the sound of it.
Okay. All right. Well, and to each their own, but I will say, talking about the game and then playing it on your own, I also didn't like it. And I think Bradley, well, he did tell me about it, and it just, my ears just kind of tuned out all the details of the game that he was going through, because it didn't sound very fun. But playing it with somebody else was so fun. So
this is an interesting game, because I simultaneously didn't have a good time with it, but also have immense respect for what it does.
Yeah.
And that's why I go and say, like, I don't feel like I'm in the right mood for it, because I feel like all of the components of it together is brilliant for this style of game. I just don't want to play this style of game right now.
Yeah, that's totally fine, because I remember having those exact feelings with Harvest Moon when we were a kid. It wasn't always Harvest Moon time. It was just like, dude, let's play Harvest Moon. And then I'd be like, Paul, you're going to play. And then we would switch, and then I'd play. We'd be playing on the same account. We'd be doing it together. I do think that if you were to come over here and we were to play like all together, I think we would have a lot of fun. But it's also a game that it's perfect for like a date night, where it's like, hey, got nothing going on tonight? Want to play Stardew? And it's like, oh, perfect. Whereas you have a kid, and that is significantly more difficult to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a very pregnant wife who is very tired at the end of the day, and playing a game sounds like a lot more work than just watching a show and getting a back rub.
Well, also really quick too, I think that one reason that I do like the game is that I told Bradley that one of my lifelong dreams is to own chickens. It's something that I'm not dropping. And he usually just laughs. When we talk about it, but it's something that I told him. I said, Bradley, I want chickens, and I also really would love to garden. So with what we're doing this year, it just doesn't really make sense for me to plant a garden, but those are two things that I really love. And so stepping into a world where I can do that, I think that that also influenced my personal
enjoyment.
Yeah,
totally makes sense. So we have to figure out where it actually going to go on the queue. Just saying, you guys really liked it, and I didn't have the greatest experience. That does not give us the greatest information as far as queue ranking. So
yeah, and I think Grace is going to have a lot to say, considering she has played none of the other games on the queue.
No, I was going to say this is where you guys can hash it out, because
you did watch me play probably all of these games.
I have, and I could give you guys my opinion, but it wouldn't be very informative.
That is all right. You can still chime in if you'd like, but okay. I think it is time to jump into the ranking portion of IndieQ. So I'm going to just run through it. This is probably the last time we will run through the list in its entirety.
I don't know if we did it last week.
Oh, I'm pretty sure we did, but if we didn't, Paul can laugh at me when we're listening to this episode again, or last episode again. So, spoilers, Grace, because you haven't listened to all these yet. Number one is Hollow Knight. Number two, Hades. Number three, Celeste. Number four, Salt and Sanctuary. Number five, Dead Cells. Number six, Crypt of the Necrodancer. Number seven, Into the Breach. Number eight, Tunic. And number nine, Galt Story.
Wow.
Where does Stardew Valley fit? Because it's our last episode, I say we just start at the bottom and see how far it climbs.
Okay.
So, Stardew Valley versus Golf Story.
I would say the art style is actually very similar between the two.
We got another indie pixel art.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that the fishing minigame reminds me of some mechanics in mm-hmm. the golfing, as far as like the rhythm timing, the button presses, and trying to get your fish to stay within a certain range of your bar, which has some carryover between the golfing mechanic.
For sure. There's a cute little story that goes along. I think that Stardew Valley story is immensely more deep and also much more customizable, where Golf Story is you're just walking through the story.
Yes, but I also think it takes a lot more effort and a lot more time to actually interact with the story in Stardew, whereas Golf Story, you just get thrown in and you're just like
it is
carried through the whole way. As far as enjoyment straight goes, I think my personal enjoyment, which is not what the scale is, Stardew is going to be bottom. But I think I have to recommend it higher than Golf Story. I think systems-wise and for the variety of people who would be able to find enjoyment and invite enjoyment in different aspects of the game, mm-hmm. I am very cool with bumping it up above Golf Story.
All right. It's going to be way higher on the list for me. So we'll move on to Tunic. So Tunic and Stardew don't have a ton of similarities other than maybe the fighting in the mines portion, and not even like going down the mines, but like you're swinging a sword. You're both swinging a sword.
Yeah, but there's like the energy that you have. Stamina in Tunic, which is similar to stamina that you have in
your energy
in Stardew. You know, if you run out of energy, you can't do anything else until you eat more food. And, you know, you're fighting, you have your health. I feel like there's some carryovers. And the fighting mechanic is probably the best comparison. Fighting mechanic is such a small, minor part of
Stardew.
And I actually say that combat-wise, it is not dramatically worse than the combat in Tunic.
Which is saying quite a lot.
Which is so frustrating, because I love Tunic. But the combat is probably the weakest part of the game. But the feel of the game, to me, it really hit a lot of buttons for what I'm longing in my current stage of life. The exploration, the sense of adventure. Mm-hmm. To me, that's much more appealing, you know, working a 9-to-5 where you feel like you're doing a lot of monotonous tasks. Right. To have this like sense of wonderment and joy and excitement and adventure is much more appealing to me versus doing more seemingly monotonous tasks for these small goals. And so I think just having that variety in life makes me enjoy that feel that Tunic has more. But I think Stardew offers an amazing just feel presence of the game of just like this mellow, quiet town. Get rid of the, you know, the hustle and bustle. Even if you can't get something done today, you can always do it tomorrow.
I also wonder if, like, we haven't really played a ton of, like, chill out games for this, for the queue. And I feel like Stardew Valley is definitely, like, a chill out game. And I feel like because it was almost work for you, because you were doing it, I was the one who was like, we have to do Stardew. And you were like, we need to put it at the bottom of our 10. Because it's gonna, it's a big game. And if you want to, like, really dive into it, you can't just play it for a week or two. And so that was kind of part of the process of putting it later on in the queue, or in the, in what we were going
to
be
our presenting. Lineup for our queue, yes. It was hard, though, because I was trying to play it throughout. So I was playing other games, you know, playing Hades and getting this, you know, the story and this, you know, pumping action. And then be like, okay, I need to take some time and play Stardew. But I really want to play Hades instead. And so I think that could also have led to some of the feelings I have towards the game.
Totally. So personally, I would definitely want to put Stardew above Tunic.
I think it needs to.
Even though
my enjoyment's not there for it.
That's okay. Stardew Valley versus Into the Breach. This is maybe the only other chill out kind of game, but it's not chill out in the concept of the game, but in like the execution.
It's a puzzler, and there's no time. It's literally you can just sit here and think. And I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I do some of my best thinking when I'm doing like a simple repetitive task. In college, one of my favorite things to do was just to volley with the ping pong ball, and you know, at the ping pong table, just hitting back and forth with a friend and just talking. And having this like mindless, you know, but satisfying repetition to just kind of experience life. And I feel like Stardew really encompasses that. Like, this is a simple, repetitive task, especially when you're playing together, where you could, like, hey, here's this goal that we have, and we're both doing this simple thing on the screen, but we can talk about whatever when we're, you know, actually doing the task.
It was full fun for us, because it was just like playing ping pong and hanging out and having a great time together. But we're doing ping pong. But no, we're playing Stardew Valley together. I really wish that you could have just, like, played with us. Because that would have been so much fun. I feel like it would have been so much fun to be like, oh, we're all doing different things now. And we're all, like, working together for these goals.
It's just so much bigger than
Into the Breach.
Which is the comparison we make every time we talk about Into the Breach. It's like, Into the Breach is pocket size. It's so small. It's hard to compare it to this big, massive game. But it doesn't seem fair to rank Into the Breach higher than Stardew.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're going to agree with that. So.
I'm down. I'm going to bring Stardew as high as I can bring it. So, Stardew versus Crypt of the NecroDancer.
That one, Stardew. Easy. Easy peasy. Move on.
Do we have any comparison parts? They are not exactly the same, like, pixel art style, but they both are in that vein of
I think art. Simplicity of, like, the fighting. More so the monsters. I think that was one of my complaints about Crypt of the NecroDancer, was just like, did not feel like creative enemies. That it was just like, oh yeah, this is just run-of-the-mill, like, dungeon fodder. And I think, while a little bit more creative with some of the enemy types, it was pretty much, oh, fight some slimes, fight some bats, fight a different color slime, fight a bigger bat. Then they had some more unique stuff. But I feel like that feel of, like, just the depth of the fighting is comparable. But once again, that's such a minor part of Stardew Valley.
Right.
And to me, that's like one of the core aspects of Crypt of the NecroDancer.
I feel like you could legitimately have Crypt of the NecroDancer in Stardew Valley. Like, it could just be like, when you go to the mines, this is what you do. Like, it's not exactly the same, but it almost has that same feel. It's like,
it kind of reminds me of a game. There's a bar in Stardew Valley, and there's a, like, a video game that you can play.
Yeah.
It's a little too much, Crypt of the NecroDancer, but I feel like a simplified version of it would not feel out of place playing it at the arcade at the bar in Stardew.
Right.
Or, like, maybe during, like, a festival or something like that.
Yeah. There's, like, there's, like, Easter, and you would go collect eggs. Like, that's one of the little mini games in Stardew Valley. So, like, having something like that, it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. Let's move it up.
Yes.
Stardew versus Dead Cells. This is also my darling, Dead Cells, here.
Excuse me?
You've listened to the podcast, Grace. You hear Brad rave about dead cells every single week.
Oh, goodness.
I could be persuaded either way on this one. You're so much higher on dead cells than I am.
Yes. So, personally, loving dead cells as much as I do, I feel like it is a beautiful roguelike in terms... Maybe not beautiful in terms of the way that it looks, but I love it so much. And it just makes me want to keep playing it. Stardew Valley is that same thing, but it is a completely different genre of game. I want to keep coming back to Stardew where it's just like... I'll be like looking at Grace. It's like later at night. I'm like, I just want to play Stardew. Don't you want to play?
It's a community aspect for it as well. Whereas when you're playing Dead Cells, it's a solo endeavor of like, I'm just going to focus in on myself. But I think a lot of your guys' enjoyment was the fact that this was something that brought you together to do together.
Yeah,
as opposed to, hey, you do your thing tonight and I'm going to dig deep into some Dead Cells.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I wonder how much of that is factoring into how you think of the game. But then I was reminded you played a lot before you met me and you liked it.
Yeah, so I played it by myself before. And I feel like I had a similar experience in the amount that I enjoyed it. I probably am enjoying it a lot more this time because I have someone else to do it with. But I played a lot of Stardew Valley by myself, just solo, with those goals. The same drives, but instead... of,
you share it with someone.
I get to share it with somebody, yeah. So I personally would like to see Stardew move above Dead Cells.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Stardew versus Salt and Sanctuary.
They're both kind of ugly.
I think that Stardew is way better looking than Salt and Sanctuary. I really did not like the aesthetic. Well, mostly the way that the characters look. Like the background or whatever, it's like dark and misty in Salt and Sanctuary. But I explained it earlier. It's like you're a little wet noodle running across the screen. And I was like, what am I doing? That was some of the thing that turned me off the most against Salt and Sanctuary. The first time I played it was, why do I look so stupid? Like, you can't make this character look not stupid.
I kind of feel like your Stardew character look kind of stupid.
Well, that might be true, but Grace's character... she's so fat.
I don't know why. I picked a shirt and it just, she's a little chubby running around town.
It's so funny. Her belly's like sticking out running. When she's like face up, you don't notice. But when she turns to the side, it's like...
she's cute.
She is really cute.
There's a lot of her to love.
Are you expecting in the game?
Not yet. But that you can do that.
Is Dead Cells the one? Is that
bug? We're at Salt and Sanctuary.
Oh. Is that the bug one?
No, that's Hollow Knight. That's
it's not even anywhere close to Hollow Knight, let's be honest here.
Okay, I'm lost then. I don't know which one it is.
So, anyways, anything else that you want to say about Salt and Sanctuary and Stardew?
I think it's a very tough comparison because I think both of them hit their feel. Like, I mean, these are both games that provide the sense of immersion and the sense of just like... embodying the aesthetic of the game and like the mantra of the game. They both really provide this like this chill, like creative, organizational experience.
Yeah.
Versus this oppressive, stressful, exciting adventure of like mastery of mechanics. There's never a moment in Stardew where you like feel like you're running into a brick wall, which is a boon to the fact that like you don't get interrupted from your enjoyment, but you never also don't have that satisfaction of like overcoming this seemingly insurmountable challenge.
Yeah, there is the challenges aren't presented in the same way. It's more of a like a task that you could do in real life, like have a garden and plant the plants and raise them
Stardew up. Stardew feels more checklisty to me. And some people just have such immense satisfaction of having a list and me, crossing something out.
100%.
My wife will attest that I absolutely just hate lists. To the point where she like will ask permission. Like, hey, can I make a list for you? I know you don't like it, but like I think it'll help me organize my thoughts and get some stuff down. And I will, you know, on certain occasions I'm like, I'm not feeling it. And some other occasions like, yeah, I think that would be helpful. But because of that, like, that, I don't get that same satisfaction of just checking the list. That the immense satisfaction that I have when I beat a boss is so much more meaningful to me.
Yeah.
And I also really enjoy in video games that sense of being able to be lost and the sense of like the excitement of like the push your luck. There's a little bit of the push your luck in when you're mining or like when you're fighting against time at the end of the day. Like, I'm going to go try to get one more fish before I run back and hopefully I can make it back to my house in time.
Yeah.
But that satisfaction of like having a ton of salt, not very much life, you know, and you find a sanctuary and you're just like, yes, I made it to this next spot where I, you know, can die over and over again. Now I'm going to be restarting right here.
Right. So here's my thought process right now. I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I think I already kind of feel this tension with having Salt and Sanctuary above Dead Cells. It's come up a couple different times. And that, like, how much I enjoy Stardew Valley is so much more than Dead Cells. I feel like it would, like, be hard for me to look at this list every week and be like, Stardew's below Salt and Sanctuary? But if it was below, like, Hollow Knight, Hades, Celeste, Stardew are, like, to me, all almost in the exact same area of my personal enjoyment. Where if the four of those were flipped around in a different order, it wouldn't bother me. But I also acknowledge that you might feel the same way if Stardew Valley is above Salt and Sanctuary. I don't know if that's something that you would feel.
The tension I'm feeling is this: the weight between we're making a queue of games that we think you should play, and you is so broad. I don't know who you are, you know, unless your case you're a friend and family and you actually know me in real life and you're listening to it right now.
Hello.
But people's tastes are so varied, and I feel like Salt and Sanctuary, while it hits my tastes like to a T of what I enjoy in games, I think it's a much more niche experience. And I think there's going to be a lot more people who try that game out and will actively just despise it or not be able to go very far because the difficulty curve is so high.
Hmm.
I think the accessibility of Stardew is insane, and the fact that I'm confident my wife could play it, even if, you know, we've yet to determine if she'd actually enjoy it. But, like, the fact that Grace plays it, and she's not a gamer, the fact that David's wife Ashley plays it, I think it's a testament to the fact that, hey, if you're not into gaming, or you're someone whose, you know, spouse or significant other wants to do something with you, but they're not typically playing video games, this is such a great entry point of, like, hey, let's get some of these basic video game mechanics, you know, dealing with joysticks, and, like, you know, you can give them a little bit of taste of fighting
push
in the mind.
Push the
like,
X button.
But, like, yeah. Hey, there's some tension and some stakes, but they're so low that if you fail, that you're not, like, overly punished.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give it a try and be like, nope, I'm not enjoying this right now. I'm going to do all the other stuff I enjoy. And then maybe a couple hours later, I'll try that again. I feel like it could be a good way to start introducing a lot of different mechanics, whether it be the fishing rhythm mini game or just like the organizing your chests, finding something that you enjoy, dealing with the story and interacting with characters and understanding that, hey, video game stories don't have to be super linear. You can experience it in different ways. I think because of the nature of the queue, it's not my list of games I like the most. I could have Stardew at 4. But to me, the top three are miles ahead in my enjoyment that I don't think I can justify putting it above any of them.
That feels really good to me, to put it at 4. And I know that you could have put it at number 10, personally. But I'm glad that we found a spot for it at number 4. Paul's probably going to go home and never play Stardew again. And Grace and I are probably going to play a little bit of Stardew tonight.
But then when you and Rachel come over next time, we might just have everything set up for you to do it here.
Oh, joy. What to look forward to, just as you guys will look forward to, our next season of IndieQ.